I want to kind of set this scene that happened in the synagogue that day. Because people were gathered around and Jesus was teaching and they were listening, and mostly, predominantly at that point, would be men in that group because that's how things were organized in those days. Men had their pews and women had their pews. And so Jesus is engaged in this conversation and the people are all paying attention, and this woman arrives. This woman who is bent over. And this is my guess. She's been like this now, maybe bending over further and further and further as the 18 years went on and on and on, that people didn't notice her anymore because they didn't see her face. They didn't pay much attention to the woman who was bent over. They didn't pay attention to the pain she might be feeling. And she didn't see much because those of us who have some ailments that restrict our body's movement, we know that sometimes we can't look unless we turn our whole body left and right. And we can't really look up unless we lift our whole body to look up. So her view of her world was diminished. And people diminished her more by not noticing her. But there he is teaching, and the scriptures say she suddenly appears. Doesn't say she says a word. Doesn't say she appeared because she wanted healing from Jesus. It says she suddenly appeared. And what Jesus did was he noticed her. He noticed the woman bent over. He noticed the spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. And he didn't say to her, as we often find him going, "Do you want to be healed?" He doesn't do this. With this particular woman, all he says to her is, "Move your pen," he says. "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." That's all he says. And then the woman stands up straight. And I taught the kids something in yoga. It's called the mountain pose. And people think the mountain pose is just standing like this. But the mountain pose isn't standing just like this. The mountain pose is you get your feet firmly underneath your hips. You roll your shoulders back and down. And your body is aligned straight and you are a mountain. And whenever I think of that woman standing up straight, I figure she stood into the mountain pose, completely strong in her body and strong in who she was, and praising the Lord for the healing that came upon her body. And no one's response was, "Praise the Lord with her." Their first response was, "Wait a minute, this is the Sabbath." She could have waited another day to be healed, couldn't she? And he reminds them that one of the Sabbath laws is that you can let go, you can untie your oxen and untie your whatever and let them go get donkeys and get water, as long as they're not carrying anything that's a burden. And he reminds them that she's a human being. She's not an ox or a donkey. And that she deserves to be healed when she needs to be healed. And it's that understanding of the law. You know, the Sabbath law is to make the day holy, holy for God. And it was a holy healing. The woman appeared in the midst of a Sabbath gathering and was healed. Isn't that holy work? Isn't that holy work? Christ and God asks us not to do work that is does not bring God glory on the Sabbath. God asks us to take rest from that work that helps us feed our families and put houses and clothing on. But we can do holy work. Work that edifies God and edifies us. And that's what Jesus is reminding them. That the Sabbath, being in Sabbath rest, is being in a holy relationship with God. And that moment of healing was a holy moment. And the crowd was rejoicing at the wonderful things that Jesus was doing. But I thought about what he said to the Pharisees. He says to them, "You hypocrites, does not each..." No, not that part. I already told you that part. "Ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" To be set free from this bondage. We all need to be set free from bondage of sin that weighs us down. Some of us do have physical ailments. We don't know if the woman's bondage, the woman's suffering, was caused by a physical ailment. We do know that he says it was a spirit that held her hostage, that crippled her. Think about the spirits that cripple us, the spirits that weigh us down. The negativity in the world that tells young people that they're no good, that because maybe they don't dress right, they're not worthy. Maybe if they speak in a particular accent or use language that doesn't sound very proper, we continue to beat on them and beat on them. Maybe they're not very good at math, and so their math scores fall. So we tell them they're stupid. And again and again and again, they get beat on and beat on. And we might not stoop over, but how many of us know this position? That your head's hung low, your shoulders are cooped in, because you don't want to be seen, because people think you're not worthy of being seen. And then we begin to internalize that, and it begins to cripple our spirits and cripple our lives. And then we resort to things like drugs or alcohol or sex or gambling or shopping or some other form of different ways of making us feel like we're worthy. And we get held in bondage by this image we have of ourself that is a negative image. And Jesus wants us to be set free. Jesus wants to come in and remove that crippling spirit from us. Jesus believes that we are beloved children of God just as we are, and worthy of God's love no matter where we are. But brothers and sisters, we've got to share that same message with the people around us, no matter what they look like, no matter what their circumstances are, that we're all held by some sort of sin that cripples our ability to be the full person God calls us to be. You know, my siblings will tell you I can't really play the guitar, and when I do, I sing way off key. So I stopped playing the guitar. And for a while, I stopped singing. They were very surprised when they found out I was singing in choirs. But when it comes to a solo or a duet, I don't want to do it, but I've done it. But how well I sing isn't really the answer to the question, is it? It's why I sing. It's why I sing. I sing because I love the Lord, and one of my favorite ways to express that is in music. Why do I like contemporary Christian music? Because, man, we can be singing and dancing all over the place sometimes. Maybe the theology's a little weak, and maybe the chorus goes 6 or 7 different times and you're tired of singing it, but by the end, you know, the Spirit fills you. Just like, how many verses have we been singing of every hymn this morning? Yeah, I love every verse. I love every verse because singing is my way of praying to God. But the tape that can cripple my voice is still sometimes playing in my head. Christ healed the woman of a crippling spirit, of the bondage of whatever held her and kept her bent over. Sometimes it's a diagnosis of a disease. Sometimes it is arthritis in our spines. Sometimes it is the nature of what our body is doing and betraying us that can cripple our spirits. It doesn't have to. The nature of our body's ailments is our body's ailments. But how we respond to God and respond to what's going on in our body can be just as much bondage. And Christ says that I will be with you to the very ends of the earth. Christ is with you in every moment of your pain. Christ is with you in every moment of your suffering. Christ is with you in every moment of your joy. And we might not be able, because of our body's limitations, to hit that mountain pose. But we can hit that mountain pose in here. We can see ourselves standing tall and strong and praising God, no matter the condition of our body. The bondage of sin is what holds our body, our minds and our spirits in that bent over position, so that all we see is not the world around us, but maybe our feet, maybe the floor, and maybe if we turn, we can see a little bit from side to side, but looking up gets a little bit difficult while we hold in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits, those things that we have heard in the past that harm us. So what do we do about it? One of the things we do is we offer our life to God and Christ. One of the things we can do is always spend some time at the altar with God and ask Christ to come and remove that sin from our hearts, remove that tape out of our brain, to take those chains that bind us and cripple us and bend us over and set us free. Because when we're set free, we can sing off tune, play our guitar off tune, sometimes hit the notes right, but you know, we can do what we do because of our love for God and God's love for us. Don't miss an opportunity ever to come before the Lord and ask God to set you free. But the other piece that we as brothers and sisters in Christ need to do is to remember we are here to lift one another up, to empower one another. Yes, we can offer constructive criticism, but if sometimes what we offer is always a negative word, then all they will hear from us is negativity. We spent 4 weekends with some beautiful children, some absolutely adorable children. Our vacation Bible school followed not many rules other than loving one another and doing what was the next space and the next thing. And all of them, we'd given them an art project, and not one of them absolutely copied the example. They did it as uniquely and wonderfully as they are. And that is the thing we need to lift up in each and every one of us. We don't do life the same. We don't have the same life experiences. We don't have the same things that cripple us, and we don't have the same things that lift us up. But what we can do as the body of Christ is journey together, to be there for one another, to share the message of salvation. And when it's necessary, to say to a friend, hey, do you need to go to the altar today? Do you need someone to walk with you to that altar? Come, I'll walk with you. I can always talk to Jesus too. Spend time with the Lord when you find yourself bending over. And in your brain, see yourself in a mountain pose, strong and steady. Be set free from that which holds you in bondage. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.